In today's video, you'll learn how to grow a corporate foundation and some best practices with the Culture Amp Foundation as an example. We discuss how core business principles are married with the unique needs and context of local causes and communities. We also explore how to balance the benefits of long-term planning versus short-term requirements. Let's make a social impact.
Hi everyone, I'm Carl. Welcome to the Social Impact Show, a channel where you get the latest strategies and tips to help you scale and grow your CSR and goodness programs. So today I've got two guests. My first guest, she is my guest co-host, and you've probably seen her before. Her name is Erica Graham Jordan. She is the Area Vice President here at Benevity. And our guest, second guest today, he is the head of Culture Amp Foundation, Chess Jacobs. Thank you both for joining me today.
Let's jump into the first question, if that's okay, Carl.
For sure.
Awesome. Chess, it's so good to see you again. I know we've been having conversations for a long time, and we are thrilled to welcome you to the show today. I personally am excited about your passion for life, your zest, and just what I know that folks will get out of this listening to this conversation. So thank you for being here. First, we know that this is a relatively new role, so would love to get a sense from you. You know, when you jumped in the role, within the first few months, what steps did you take to get to know the company, its people, its programs, the nonprofits it supported? We know that Culture Amp sits squarely at the intersection of a company and its people. So to be able to also understand the people and the goals at Culture Amp is probably critically important as you build the foundation. What did that look like for you to kind of get a sense of what the organization was like?
Yeah, so I was a former customer of Culture Amp, and I mean that I was the person at a previous organization who administered the platform for the organization. And so I already knew that Culture Amp's mission of making a better world of work wasn't just a theory, but a proven practice. I saw it firsthand. And so that context was beneficial in terms of figuring out where to get started. Still, to solidify, you know, the Culture Amp Foundation's mission, which was to make a better world of work more attainable, I had to take the seat of the listener before I could ultimately be firmly in the seat of the foundation's leader, right? So coming into the organization, really starting to figure out, what is this all about? And so when I joined, I immediately went on a world tour of Culture Amp. And I talked to everyone from new hires to C-suite executives, to all different campers, which is what we call employees at Culture Amp, to the co-founders, et cetera, et cetera. I even got on the phone with some of our customers because I just wanted to really understand, what were these people's perception of the organization? What did they believe the mission to be? How did they see that in practice? All those different kinds of things to really get to understand my own ethos. And I believe that when building programs that represent an organization from its operational gut, from the core, you have to include all of the voices that contribute to that center. And so I spent a lot of time reading thought leadership that the company put out. I talked to some of the organization's most tenured employees. I got to know several of our nonprofit customers. And that was all critical because when leaders in this space join the space or join new organizations as a philanthropic leader, oftentimes we bring our own biases. We bring our past experiences, we bring the things we know, we bring the standard programs, the best practices with us, but every organization is different. And what I found necessary through a series of wins and impacts and lessons as a social impact and DEI leader is that every organization has that difference, and that's what makes it unique. That's what gives it its purpose. And so coming to Culture Amp, after doing all of that research and getting that understanding, we built this 360 view of the organization, our operations, to figure out how we were uniquely positioned to make our impact.
So just, you know, when you're drawing from your previous experiences, you integrated your insights and learnings into shaping that vision for the launch of the Culture Amp Foundation. So could you share a little bit about your philosophy, your approach to create that vision?
Yeah. So in terms of past experiences, there's two things that immediately come to mind. The first experience is being raised by community activists. So I was raised by two Black and Jewish American, middle class, mixed income family. And they met at a civil rights rally in Trenton, New Jersey. And that really set the tone for my upbringing. So when my classmates were getting off school and going to chess club and Boy Scouts and volleyball practice, I was going to sit-ins and protests at 7, 8 years old. And so when you grow up like that, you grow up with a true sense of sociocultural difference and a clear picture of how movements and change come to fruition. And one of the things that I noticed very early on in my youth was that social movements happened within an ecosystem. There were corporations involved, governments, nonprofit organizations, activists, and the general public who made up not only the ecosystem of social change, but our ecosystem of society, which made complete sense. And then the second thing that comes to mind is that in the earlier years of my career, which I spent 4 years working as the first DEI liaison at the University of Michigan in the School of Music, Theater, and Dance, and then the second part of that early part of my career as the director of community engagement at an arts organization called Broadway Dreams Foundation in New York City. And in these jobs, I saw how corporate foundations interacted with nonprofits, which ultimately left an extremely negative impression on me, almost causing me to leave the social impact and nonprofit space. And I saw how many business leaders were finding ways to use nonprofits and nonprofit partnerships as marketing opportunities, donations as box checking. Ultimately, that many people didn't care about a lot of these social issues and that their interests were misaligned with organizations' values. They just needed somewhere to put their donation dollars or find a tax write-off, et cetera, et cetera. And so when I started to take on these corporate philanthropy roles, specifically this one, I wanted to make sure that CultureAmp, a company that I believed in and was a former customer of, it knew the impact it could make, had a different approach. And I wanted one that was centered on the voice and missions of the nonprofits and the nonprofit founders we worked with, the leaders of those nonprofits, the beneficiaries of those nonprofits, to be one that included their desired relationship with corporate foundations rather than us retaining all of the control in our relationship with them. And so the first thing that I always ask nonprofits when I get on the phone with them is, how do you wish corporations interacted with you? And that often sparks a conversation of how we build our relationship and what that looks like. So those are the two things that I keep in mind in building this work and advancing the work of the foundation.
I do have a couple of follow-ups with you. The first one is, how have you seen, when you were growing up, 7, 8 years old, and you were seeing the social movement, how does that, the social movement you saw growing up, compare to the social movements today, maybe the past couple of years? Because I'd be very fascinated to know from your perspective, what does that look like? What are some changes and how do they differ?
Yeah. It's interesting because I don't see much change. I see the way in which these social issues are responded to changing. But the issues themselves seem to be pretty consistent, which is unfortunate. I think with the advent of social media, we also have a new layer of misinformation and disinformation that impacts the way movements move forward and the way in which we come to understand each other in society. I remember one of the protests that I'm specifically thinking about was after this young woman at the time named Tajanik Lee. She was playing outside. She was a neighbor of mine. She was playing outside in the front yard and a drive-by shooting ended up happening. And a bullet went through her mouth, broke her teeth, and out the other end. And she was like my age at the time. She was like 9. And so me and my siblings and a bunch of other younger community activists from the neighborhood got together with like my parents and like their folks. And we had a march. We had a dance. We were dancing in jubilation of Tajanik's survival, but also marching in protest because we wanted guns off of our streets as kids. And these were the demands that we had as 9 and 10 year olds living in Trenton, New Jersey. And so I think what I say, why I say I don't think it's changed is because we still see the youth speaking out in numbers, demanding change in numbers. And those kids who were me and my siblings and my friends at the time, we are the ones who are leading corporate foundations, running for office, building new nonprofits. Unfortunately, the world we live in, there continues to be injustice. There continues to be harm happening in neighborhoods. There continues to be mass incarceration happening across the globe. And so, unfortunately, those skills that I learned as a kid are so useful right now. But the biggest change that I think I see is that we have new ways of activating digitally and new ways of engaging new people.
And I guess the second question, too,
which you mentioned before, was the when you say, because I had another guest on talk about how can corporations or businesses interact with nonprofits, and what the crux of our conversation, the crux was, what can companies do for nonprofits and causes that go beyond simple employee engagement?
Sure.
That aren't about the stats or the outputs for that company, but actually the outcomes for that cause.
So we can get into this a little bit later when we talk about the strategy. But I ultimately think what you can do is start at the very base level, getting to know your nonprofits and your local communities before you're deciding how you're going to make an impact, right? Because I think about working at the arts education nonprofit that I worked at, a lot of times we had large companies with and individual donors who had lots of money to just like give, but that money was always tied to an outcome, always tied to a specific program, always tied to a deliverable, right? So say I'm running an arts education nonprofit and a donor comes to me and says, hey, I have 500 grand to go towards scholarships for people who want to get their BFA in musical theater. That would be great if the demand was for students getting their BFA in musical theater. What the actual demand is for like working actors who are trying to supplement their income and pay their rent so they can make it to auditions and make their Broadway dream come true, right? So the $500,000 check was great, but ultimately, if it doesn't help us make the impact that we need to make as an organization, we can't do anything with it. And you can find out what that impact is by simply having a conversation and building your programs based off of what the nonprofit sector need is, rather than deciding what you want to do and then showing up to whatever nonprofit and saying, hey, we've got this, who wants it?
I think that's so helpful. That's such a great a way to illuminate partnership, right? That's a perfect example of what a partnership should look like. And really, it makes me start thinking as we kind of go down the line and thinking about how that connects with you now sitting in this foundation seat, right? And so now you have the unique ability to say, how do I have these conversations? And as we think about it, how do you think about that as it affects your program pillars? Because you're effectively the one saying, these are our goals, and how do I find the right nonprofits?
Sure.
How do you create your program pillars for your foundation, keeping your business at the forefront, but then also considering your global workforce of your employees and the local communities where you serve? How do you strike a balance? Like, what does that look like from a global and a local scale?
Yeah. So I'll try to answer this question backwards, which hopefully gets us to the answer we might be looking for. So in terms of balance, we leave room for both. We have some high-level goals that we want to achieve as an organization and as a foundation, right? So we have our foundation grants that we want to give to nonprofits, making the world of work more attainable. We have a targeted number of discounts and grants to nonprofits that are making a positive impact in the world. I think this year we did about $5.6 million in product grants and donations. We have employee commitments where we want them to do skills-based volunteering at innovative organizations and so forth. And then we leave a surmountable amount of runway to be inspired and to be able to take on challenges and opportunities as they presented to us and as the world continues to change, right? So we kind of like have this dual mindset of like, we have our plans, but we're flexible depending on what happens in the world and kind of like what we're called to or what might come up. And because of the way we built our strategy, the business's core is at the core of the foundation. So regarding the leadership, we have a board of directors, which includes our CEO and also spans the business. And then we have a council from various departments of the organization, right? So we have a product lead that focuses on the product, a product lead that focuses on sales and helping expand our relationship with nonprofits. We have an operations lead who also leads all of our sustainability work at Culture Camp. We have somebody working on comms and employee engagement. We have somebody who helps us do our purpose work internally and externally. So we've got like our footprint across the organization. And so there's a lot of points of view coming in from all over the business, which is great. And then campers also have direct access to me as the head of the foundation, and campers is what we call Culture App employees. They have access to all members of the board. They have access to our council in an open forum to make recommendations, ask questions, connect with us beyond just what we're doing, but they can actually have an internal voice. And then as for our location strategy, we're focusing primarily on the regions where we have offices. So not only Australia, North America, and the EU, but in the cities where we're located more specifically. So Melbourne, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, London, and Berlin. And then in 2024, we will be bringing together our offices to develop relationships with nonprofits that are local to those cities. A lot of our employees have started to demand to be able to engage with nonprofits who are like around the corner from the office or in the same city that impact the local communities that they live in and pay taxes in, and et cetera, et cetera. So we're kind of like going with like this global national approach wherever we're based, but also giving our employees the ability to engage with the nonprofits who serve their communities directly.
And when you say they have access to you, for those folks, you know, we get a lot of questions like, we're starting a foundation for the first time. How do we connect with our employees in a meaningful way? How do we ladder the foundation to the corporation? You've given great examples of the board and actual like specific responsibilities. But if I'm an employee and I have an idea, do you have like a form that they can submit? Is it just reach out to you versus be in?
Yeah. So they can reach out to me directly. I'm like the chief volunteer at Culture Amp. So like, that's kind of like my thing, like the Ted Lasso of philanthropy. They can also Slack either our social impact channel, which is just kind of like open engagement, or our foundation channel, which is like more specifically, if there is a nonprofit that wants a grant that's on your radar, or they're a customer of yours and you have a customer that knows a nonprofit and you want to connect us, like they can connect us there. Or when we're looking for our foundation grants to give those grants out to grantees, people can Slack us and say like, hey, I know we have foundation grant cycle coming up. I want to put this nonprofit on your radar. I also speak quite frequently in front of the company. And so obviously like Zoom chats are very popular in all company meetings. So I get a lot of inquiries there. People DM me on Slack there. So I pretty much just have open access whenever I'm online. People can talk to me about philanthropy in any which way, whether that's they want to build a program or they have an idea.
That's great. You've identified like really transparent and clear ways for folks to reach out to you and making it really like a virtual version of an open door to say, yes, what's important to you? What's important? How do you have a voice? So that becomes meaningful to people.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So Chess, with the mission of building a better world, building a better world of work at the core of Culture Amp, so how does the company currently support social impact initiatives to the mission? And can you give examples of that?
Sure. So the Culture Amp Foundation operates under what we call the Culture Amp Foundation 360 strategy. And this strategy was actually built off of the world tour that I was saying that I went on. So this isn't something that I've done before, but it's a combination of the world tour and then like all the lessons I've learned from doing this work over the past decade. And this strategy gives us multiple ways of making an impact in the world and for the nonprofit organizations we serve. So first pillar is going to be contribution, which is our monetary, operational, and unrestricted grants that we make to nonprofit organizations, making the world of work more attainable. We focus on organizations who make the world of work more attainable because we know what our product does and we know the impact that it's made and how it's made organizations transform their culture. But as we started to think about like where we were uniquely positioned to make a difference in the world, it was giving people who might not have access to those high quality, high paying, high belonging culture jobs that access. And so we want to fund organizations who are helping bridge that gap. The second pillar is going to be collective action. And then this includes our products and donations and grants, right? So we give 100% off of our product to organizations focusing on racial justice, criminal justice, and Indigenous land rights and sovereignty. We have a 38% discount for Black and Indigenous owned businesses, a 10% discount for other B Corps, and then a 35% discount for nonprofit organizations. So that's just like us as a business, our commercial team, our revenue team, and our leaders come together to make these discounts possible. Camper activation is our third pillar, and this is how campers contribute to nonprofits. So donation matching or skills-based volunteering, other ways employees find ways to be of service to their communities and organizations. And then the last pillar is community and advocacy. So kind of like what we're doing right now, getting out in front of the world, being able to share thought leadership and engage with other corporate foundations, having these discussions, being engaged with our partners, like being a builder organization with Pledge 1% like we are, or keeping ourselves accountable to standards like being a B Corporation. programmatically, more specifically, we gave our first grant to a nonprofit organization focused on making the world of work more attainable based in Australia. That nonprofit is Indigitech, and they're an Australian-based nonprofit who is focused on getting more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people into the tech industry in Australia specifically. So the Australian tech industry is made up of about nearly 0% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and Indigitech is working to increase that percentage. And then on the employee engagement side, we're piloting our skills-based volunteering program. And at Culture Amp, every employee is gifted 40 hours a year to make an impact to a cause or with multiple causes that they care about. And so with the skills-based volunteering program, is what we've done is we've taken those 40 hours and we've created an allotment that says you can go to a nonprofit and you can work with them on something specific and leverage your skills. So like this year, I worked with Girl Plus Environment, which is a nonprofit based out of Atlanta, which is getting women and girls of color into the environmental justice movement. And I helped them develop their organizational strategy and implement their internal communications plan to help their organization be more connected. And so next year, I might, you know, look at my past life in the arts sector and help leader practice speech and large group communication. Like, I don't know, but you can use it for whatever you want to do. And so with the launch of the foundation, we're really looking forward to connecting with new nonprofits that we haven't met yet, deepening our relationships with nonprofits that we're already in partnership with, and then coming together with folks like Benevity to make a bigger impact in the world.
I am inspired every time you talk, right? I think hearing you speak about your pillars and how well thought they are, but it also reminds me and us more broadly how much experience you have. When you look back, is there any specific like outcomes or lessons that you've learned from maybe previous roles where it didn't work out or there was a failure? We like to talk at Benevity about like, let's embrace failure and figure out how to learn from it. Anything you can look back and learn from previous experience and say, oh, I'm not going to do this in the foundation. I love your example of unrestricted giving is a great example. Anything else you can kind of jump to?
Yeah, I think one of the first programs that I built out at a startup earlier in my career was that I got the organization to commit 1% of our June revenue to social causes focusing on racial justice. And then the economy took a turn and I didn't necessarily like I had the trust of the organization to make that decision. But that's the kind of move you can make once your organization is like more established. Right. And so I think that was my biggest lesson was learning that like one of the benefits of doing corporate philanthropy is that you're able to leverage more assets and resources to make an even bigger impact. But as a philanthropic leader, you have to have financial and fiscal responsibility. Otherwise, your work is going to be short-winded. And you have to be extremely strategic about where you're using resources, how you're using resources, the way in which you're communicating that impact. Are you going to do like the one fell swoop thing right now and then not be able to do anything next year? Like, what is the cost benefit analysis, not only in terms of like financial, but just programmatically, like, and how are you able to keep people engaged and retained in your work? And so that was just kind of like, you know, one of the big things. I was like, finally in the tech industry, finally had like 3 times the budget of the operating budget of my nonprofit. And I was like, we're gonna do this. And then, you know, I didn't get to do anything for another 9 months. So, you know, it's like just having a bigger view of the actual business operations of your organization is so important. And that's something that I learned once. And that lesson has stayed with me for a very long time.
Yeah, that prioritization piece is critically important, especially I always come back to this, like this global and local organization, right? Because there's so many, could be so many different competing priorities, having that real macro perspective and knowing what levers to pull as the head of foundation. I think that's quite meaningful feedback.
Absolutely.
So Chess, what you were talking about, like taking that macro level approach. So shifting to this, like when you're launching or formalizing the launch of programs, how do you go about balancing that short-term, hey, objective, we need to meet this, you know, in the next quarter, versus those long-term plans that those are the big things that drive the greatest outcomes, but they take a little bit of time to get there. How do you balance that?
Yeah. So what I can say about Culture Amp and what I've learned now being inside of the organization is that we are very big on measurement, reporting, continuous communication, open analyzing, discussion. Like, that is just at the core of who we are. But that's because big, authentic, and honest and direct communication is at the core of having great culture. It really is. Our foundation is really highly interested in supporting early stage nonprofit organizations or nonprofit organizations that have made tenure and impact in the space, but need like a little bit of support jumpstarting again or shifting to make a new impact in a new discovery area. And then talking to leaders with these types of nonprofits, I've learned that the best way to balance immediate goals against long-term strategies is to center the beneficiaries first while keeping the horizon in mind. Because that way you always know you're making an impact, right? Like, there's this thing called horizon conflict where like this side of an organization might be focused on this and this side of an organization might be focused on that. But for mission-driven work, we always have to center the beneficiaries. And so that's what helps us. That's how we know we're being balanced, is if they're at the center and a continuous impact is being made. And then still we know that we need to remain flexible to the needs of society, our people, and the planet, which is an ever-changing status. And we keep track of our near-term goals by delivering on what we say we will do, quite simply, and then being ambitious and honest about what we didn't achieve or what we can achieve on the next go-round. We release a monthly report internally on our social impact work and across our EDI portfolio, which includes sustainability, equitable design, DEI community. And so everybody in the organization gets access to this. These have been published monthly over the past number of years. And so every time the 30th or 31st or 28th rolls around, I am clacking away, updating the entire organization on everything that we did get done or did not get done that month. And it's a great way to stay accountable and keep people engaged in the work.
How do you pivot? You know, there's always the something that comes up, right? Something natural, the disaster or social movement or something that comes up. How do you keep the, how do you get employees like to pivot from, let's say, you know, you planned out this amazing strategy. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the long-term goal. But then something big comes up that's like, we need to pivot our entire team or most of our team there. How do you go about doing that?
Well, I've been fortunate that I've been able to get a lot of trust in the organization and that we have leaders who are so engaged. I'm about to fangirl over my leadership team right now, but I am grateful and confident in saying like, this is the best leadership team I've ever had in an organization, just in terms of their interest and investment. And commitment to the work. There hasn't been a time when I don't get everything that I want, right? But there hasn't been a time when I've been like ghosted, not gotten a response. I've asked somebody to jump in and get something done and they don't do it. Even if it's not today, it's never a no, it's a let's do it here, right? Like it's a constant collaboration and partnership across the leadership team. But what I can say is that the age-old theater game is yes and. And this is essentially a game when something comes up and you say yes and you add on top of it, right? And so when things happen in the world, that's kind of like how we operate at Culture Amp. It's like, we know we've got this going on, but this just popped up. Okay, yes and, right? We got to get this done. And this thing came up, like who across the organization is going to help us get this done? And I'm just so fortunate to work at an organization where I have people from engineering and sales and product and HR ops locally and overseas hopping in, reaching out to me unprompted saying, hey, just read up more on the foundation, saw the report, I can help you with this. Hey, just joined Culture Amp, found out we had the foundation, let me know if you need any help. Hey, I've got like 3 hours left over this week, let me know if you need help looking at the analytics for how much we've given out this month. And so I think just being able to have that is great. But what I will also say is that I don't think that would have been possible if I did not start with the world tour, if I did not come in the door and prioritize building relationships and getting to know people at this organization, knowing what they cared about, knowing what their inner genius was and knowing what they believed in and being able to bring them into the work from where they were. And I think starting by doing that helped me build so much trust and a believability into the mission of the organization's foundation.
So Chaz, we could, for me, this was, has been amazing, and I always speak to you for hours. But if our audience wants to connect with you or learn more about Culture Amp, what's the best place to reach you?
Yeah, so you can reach me on LinkedIn just by looking up Chess Jacobs or @Chess Jacobs. I'm also at Chess Jacobs across the relevant social medias. And then Culture Amp, so cultureamp.com. If you want to learn more about the foundation, go to cultureamp.com/foundation.
Thank you for listening to The Social Impact Show. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Then visit benevity.com to access some of the resources mentioned in this episode, along with tons of other insights to help you grow your program. Music provided by Ikeson. For questions or topics you want us to cover, reach us at podcast@benevity.com. Until next time, be a force for good.